Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to the house of God. I'm going to turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 5, and congratulations, Kimberly and Sandra, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ on Wednesday night. And I'm sure she'll be here second service. Gina was also baptized on Wednesday night. And we have a baptismal the second service. Brother Jordan Fox's sister Alyssa will be baptized during second service. So we're thankful for that. I'm grateful for what God is doing, and it's good to be in the house of God. This morning, I was telling the team what I was preaching on, and Brother Jefferson was shaking his head in a friendly way. Because when you heard him open in prayer and talking about the impotent man, oh, I am so glad we serve a healer. And today, in the name of Jesus, by the worship we have given, the words that have been spoken, we banish unbelief. Because when God is here, anything is possible. Everything is possible. And we need that faith as of a little child, like the kid that jumps off without warning. And daddy's standing there, and you just got to be ready because you don't know if they're going to jump off the chair or off the wall or when. And you just got to be ready. But we have a God that has anticipated every move that we may make. We serve a God that knows all of the needs that are in this building today. And it doesn't matter which service we're at. God is there, and it doesn't matter how squeaky or booming our voice is, God can hear us. And it doesn't matter how aggressive we are or how briefly we may touch him, he is able to give us what we need. I was listening to the words of this last song that we were singing, and it really hit my heart when it says, "This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say." And today I am going to read a story, an excerpt from a story to start, where it appeared like Jesus did not, he was not aware of the individual, but the individual was fully aware of him. And so today at the outset of what I'm saying, and even as we conclude our remarks, we are going to bring our petition to God with great expectation. It's not going to be a celebration, but it's going to be a petition. Anything that you really have need of, that you can touch him about, I want you to think about that today. And I don't want you to be distracted from that and say, well, it's really unimportant, or it doesn't exist, or it's insignificant. But these are issues that distract us or dissuade us from serving God with all our heart, or inhibit us somehow in life. And he came to give life, and that more abundant. Yes. One translation says, the Phillips translation says, he came to give you the best life you can expect, all things considered. And so we've had our bumps and our bruises, and we've been pushed around in the spirit realm, and even by people sometimes we've been abused or misused, but we are in the presence of Almighty God, and you maybe haven't heard him say your name yet, but you said his name. We said, come alive in the name of Jesus, and we know that he is present. And so Mark is writing, and hit verse 30 of chapter 5, he says, Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? And I'm reading from this translation because sometimes we want to say, who touched me is what the King James says, but really it's who touched my robe, the fringe of my garment. And his disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. And so it's not just a matter of touching him, but it's why are you touching him and how are you touching him? And so I want us to raise our hands and ask our God to touch us with his spirit. Touch us with your word and your spirit today, Jesus. Make us aware of your presence and give us boldness to ask for the things that we have need of and even the things that we simply want or desire. Let your power be loosed in this place, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And I am very confident that the remarks that I am giving today were provoked by the Holy Spirit. Each part of the normal human body has the ability to sense touch. However, each part of the body has a higher or a lesser threshold for sensitivity. The more sensitive the parts of the body are, the greater protection they need, such as our eyes. The bottom of your foot is less sensitive than the top of your foot, so you can walk on it. The distribution of the sensors in the palms of our hands are perfectly designed for God for grasp. So we know how tightly we can squeeze an object, and we can sense if the object is fragile or if it is very solid. We can sense if we can grab directly or if we have to sensitively touch that thing. The sensory pressure needed for the human eye to feel is calibrated by God and designed to work in harmony with the eyelid in response for that purpose of protecting the eye. Human sensitivity is very interesting. Those seemingly useless hairs blanketing our body act as a lever to magnify the sensitivity of touch. We can discern 1/1000th of an inch of pressure on the tips of the hair on our arms. One tap of the fingernail can tell me if I am touching paper or fabric or wood or plastic or steel. And that is by experience. A normal hand can distinguish between a smooth plane of glass and one etched with lines. Only 1/2050th of an inch deep. Our sense of touch can be trained and refined. There are people that are textile feelers. That's their job. And they test the fabrics that are coming off the line. They can readily recognize between burlap and the friction of it. But they can also pick up the difference between satin and silk, blindfolded. By rubbing his hands over the synthetic fabric, a sensor or a trained individual can tell whether there has been 5% increase in the nylon blend of that fabric. We can use our sense of touch to determine. If we think someone has a fever, we can touch their forehead with the back of our hand because the front of our hand or the palm of our hand is not near so sensitive to heat. We even use our sense of touch through proximity to tell what is going on, if an object is safe to hold or if the fire has cooled down, if we can grab on, would it cause pain, a cactus, a knife blade, a frozen item. With practice, with our eyes shut in the darkness of night, we can define sometimes and use very complicated items. A light switch is simple, or an alarm clock, but we can use a key fob or even a phone in the night. And of course, we used to have rotary dial phones and we could feel and touch and tell. But the sense of the human touch and the flexibility of it is amazing. And the God we serve has created us in such a marvelous fashion. But when the God we serve came in flesh, he revealed an even more sensitive nature. At the outset of my sermon, I read an excerpt from a happening that fills my heart with hope and gives my spirit great faith. Jesus was busy, and even in his busyness, he was aware of everything that is going on. Sometimes we can get distracted because we're so focused on the moment that we can't think of what has been or what is to come. We can be so focused and intent, someone can call our name and it just flies right by. Jesus had just fed thousands by the sea and cast out demons from a man that lived in the tombs. He is now on his way to heal a sick girl, and he had gained notoriety. The Amplified Version of Mark 5 and 24 says, "And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him." Jesus was going somewhere. He had a plan in mind. It's like you and I know where we're going. We're on the freeway and we know our destination, or we're going down the main road we're used to and we're just saying under our breath, "Get out of the way, speed up, don't slow down. Don't you dare pull out. Oh, thanks for pulling out in front of me." Because we're just fixed on the goal, on where we're going. And sometimes I get that way. It's funny how my mind works, is that if I listen to the news or watch it on YouTube, I can always back up and hear what it says. And I get going down the road and I'm listening to the news, and then I get distracted and I go, "Oh, I can't rewind that. I just missed that." Because my focus went somewhere else and I missed what was coming over the airwaves. My mind pictures a stadium full of seating, and it's open seating, and there are more people attending the game than were meant to be there. And you're fighting for your seat and you just get squeezed out. That's the position Jesus found himself in. He's focused on where he's going, and he's being suffocated by the press of the crowd. What a setup. Jesus being thronged from behind. And there's a woman, the Bible says in Mark 5 and 25, in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. And the Bible says she'd suffered greatly from the doctors, and she spent everything she had, and it wasn't getting any better. It was just getting worse. It started out bad, and she'd look for help, and those who claimed to help her or to be able to help her only made it worse. And she had suffered because of those who had declared they'd had remedies. Oh, sometimes that's the way it is. Even our emotional crush that we have because of something that somebody did unjustly toward us. I'm thinking today of when Brother Lovell was here, and he was talking about that pain that some have suffered. This is the deal about life, is life just happens. I heard somebody that was here last week at Sister Marge's funeral, and he says, "Yeah, we moved out of St. Louis because of the crime, and we moved to Joplin, Missouri." Joplin is the town that the tornado went through about 8 years ago and just wiped the whole town out. And I'm thinking, okay, you don't want to get shot, but you don't mind the wind blowing through and just tearing everything up. I didn't say anything to the guy, but my brain's going that way because my memory is going back to hearing about Joplin being destroyed by the tornado. And sometimes our memories go back to what was not healthy, what was not positive, what was not good. And we see things and we feel things and we hear things that jar our memory. And the pain of yesteryear comes up, and it's real. And what was said to us is probably even more impactful impactful than what was done to us. The pain went away and the scar on the body was gone, but the scar of the heart is deep, and the mind recalls it, and it can be smells or it can be sights or it can be anything, and it can even be a church service that could cause us to be nervous because it was somebody associated with the church that brought harm into our life. But Jesus sees us and he knows us, and we've been trying to get better and we've been trying all kinds of remedy, and sometimes it just seems to get worse. Does that sound familiar? That sounds like life. And I'm trying to be sensitive, but I'm trying to be real, to understand hurt can come from so many places and from so many people. Sometimes it can be intentional and sometimes it's intentional, unintentional, but it feels intentional. And there are some people that they just don't realize that it hurts. You know, it's just like I mentioned. On Tuesday night, we get our summertime feet as a kid, and we can walk across hot asphalt and not even feel it because we started early in June, and now it's mid-August, and it's like, I don't feel that. And somebody else that's been wearing shoes takes their shoes off and steps out and goes, woo, 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 I can't do that. And we toughened up and we've thickened up. And there are even people that are born again that have good intentions, that sometimes we feel pain inflicted by them because the way they project themselves is the way somebody projected themselves that brought harm into our life. But I ask you today to be aware that Jesus is here. And as long as he is here, we can reach out to him. And we read those words of the song, and it's not scriptural, it's not a scripture, but it's scripturally correct. This house is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. And as long as he has our attention, we can ultimately get his attention. This woman was desperate and had nothing to lose. She had lost all of her income and her pride. And she was determined and forceful and faith-filled. Verse 27 of that same fifth chapter said she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his garment. For she thought to herself, she didn't even say it to anybody else, and she didn't even have the courage to say it out loud. She said, if I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed. She was believing for something she had never seen, and she was believing for something she had never heard of. She was believing for something outrageous. You have my full attention, Jesus. And she was so focused on Jesus, the Bible says that she pressed her way through the crowd. She was probably crawling and beating dirty sandal-clad feet away from her face just to say, I know what his garment looked like. I just want to touch the fringe of it. He doesn't have to look at me. He doesn't have to call my name. He doesn't have to acknowledge me. He has my full attention. And sometimes we want to hear his voice speak, but he just wants to feel our touch. He wants to feel our reach. And he is so much more sensitive than I am. He is so much more aware than you and I as human beings ever can be. He was able to feel her touching something that was touching him. She was really saying, if I can, he will. If only. And verse 29 says, immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel that she had been healed before anybody said anything, before Jesus stopped, before the crowd's attention was arrested, before the focus was on her. She could feel that she had been healed. The bleeding must have been so profuse that immediately she went, whoa, That's done. It's finished. I thought it would be this way. If I could just touch what's touching him. But the beauty that we have is we don't just have to touch something that's touching him. We can touch him. Oh, I feel him today. I felt him touch me. But now I need to touch him. It is noteworthy that the disciples were totally unaware of the woman's presence. And Jesus had not yet seen the woman with his eye. And the crowd had not paused to take notice of this desperate human being in their midst. And yes, I'm just going to speak to self-pity today, just in case it's holding you back. Sometimes we come to church and we're not feeling good because nobody comes up to us and says, God told me to come pray for you. Because nobody notices the angst or the hurt, and they don't know our pain, and nobody acknowledges it. The church doesn't have to acknowledge your pain as long as you're focused on Jesus, if he's in the house, because really only our job is to facilitate you connecting with Jesus. But oh, the Bible says in verse 30 that Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone from him. And so he turned around to the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? Yeah. I can barely breathe. They're pushing me. Who touched my clothes? You see, it wasn't just that she touched his clothes. It was how she touched his clothes. You know, we can feel people touching us. I used to ride in the back seat with 3-4 siblings. Yeah, no seat belts. I guess they thought if we were packed in tight enough, if we got in a wreck, we'd stay put.
He touched me. She's on my side. Quit it. I'm going to tell Mom.
You know, we're saying it out loud. Mom and Dad are sitting right in the front seat. And if we could feel that intention, it's like,
he touched me. I didn't mean it. How can I help but touch you? You're touching me.
Is that there's intentions. You know, we can walk through a crowded stadium and we're bumping into people and it's just the way it is. It's life. You just crowd in. It's like trying to get on or off the max. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know why people are so hurried to get on. I know why they're in a hurry to get off, but not on. It's like they're just... And you see that, sorry, guys that work for TriMet, but it's like, it's the press of it. And you go to a game, you go to a concert, and you can't help but be touched by people. If you don't want to be touched, don't go. Stay home and watch it on YouTube. You know, it's like, no, I don't want to be touched by people. Well, don't come to church then. Not to Portland Pentecostal. Somebody's going to touch you, shake your hand, or hug you, or something like that, and you're just going to go, I remember a guy named Randy Springfield came to church one time, and when I went to visit him, he said, I've never been touched by so many people in my life. It scared me to death. And we were just shaking his hand. But we're just not used to being touched. It was just awkward to him. And some of you were that way when you first started coming, is that you didn't want any, no way. Why? Because touch had hurt you. It had brought pain to your life. But Jesus says, somebody touched my clothes. Yeah. It's like you reach up to touch your eye shuts automatically, right? Do you know how I put my contacts in? It's like I got to hold it open, otherwise it's... Because my eye's saying, you're going to put something in there, and it's not. It might hurt. Things don't belong in there. Don't put that in there. And I still do it every morning. But I've got to hold the eyelid open in order to get it in there. And sometimes we have to push through our own barriers. And we have to push through the press. And we have to put ourselves in an uncomfortable situation. And for some of you, an altar might be uncomfortable. For some of you, a church service may be awkward because there's just too many people and you're scared to death that person's going to touch you. And you're just like, can I do this without this? And Jesus is just being squeezed. And after he asked, he started looking around to see who was guilty. Who touched my clothes? There's a great cloud in crowd and they're pressing Jesus on every side, and Jesus was near to be suffocated. What normal person would have noticed someone touching their clothes? But he was anything but normal. We observed that the disciples didn't know who had touched Jesus. The crowd could not single out the woman. Jesus had not yet singled out her out, and Jesus had not yet spoken words of healing. But she touched the fringe and she knew. Remember, we read verse 29. She could feel that she had been healed. Friends, God's going to heal some of you today and you're going to feel it. Now, you're going to go to the doctor later and he's going to, or she's going to confirm it. But you're going to feel God touch you today. If you'll just reach out in faith. You may feel the miracle before it's declared. You will feel it when others have not. And the power of God can instantly change you. She simply touched something that was touching Jesus. And he said, I felt that. Did you feel that? I felt that. Are you aware of the power of God right now? Can you feel his touch on your spirit and your body? Do you feel his spirit moving upon and through you right now? It's because God is about to do the miraculous in this place today. And then the Bible says, the frightened woman in verse 33, she was trembling at the realization of what had happened to her. And she came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And then the pronouncement came, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You have been healed. The final word was only given when the frightened woman stepped forth and confessed her faith-filled act. That is when she received confirmation by the word of God that what she needed, what she wanted, what she was reaching for was satisfied. And I'm going to ask you to stand because I feel the Holy Ghost moving. And I think I'm on page 9 of 18. But we're there. You see, this illness had taken advantage of, abused her. She was weary, desperate, financially decimated, but faith-filled. Your circumstances must not and cannot be allowed to define you. Don't let what has happened to you or is happening to you capture you and keep you from a better future. Your situation is not necessarily a barometer of your faith. She was getting worse and worse and worse. She just hadn't happened to be where Jesus was. But she found what she was needing for 12 long years. And in her desperation, this woman touched something that touched Jesus. And he said, I felt that. You may ask, how can he feel that? The Bible says He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities because he was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. Remember how you were living before you were filled with the Spirit of God? And then you were filled with the Spirit of God and you went, "Ooh, I shouldn't be talking that way." You flip a switch and something comes into your vision and going, "Oh, I was watching that." Because all of a sudden you're aware of what's not right. Jesus never sinned. He could feel every sin. He could feel every need. He could feel every sickness because he was God in flesh. The very next chapter of Mark tells us that Jesus went to the other side and he got out of the boat in Gennesaret. And chapter number 6 of Mark and verse number 56 says, "Wherever he went in the villages and the cities and out of the farms, they laid the sick in the market plazas and streets. And the sick begged him to let them at least touch the fringe of his robe. And all who touched it were healed." She started something. She was the first, and she said, if I can just touch what's touching him, I know I'll be whole. She didn't say, "I'll know I'll get his attention." She didn't say, "I know he'll call my name." She didn't say, "I know he'll be aware of me." She said, "All that really matters to me is that I'll be whole." Matthew's account of this same day says this in verse 36 of Matthew 14, "And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." That means whatever was wrong was made right. This precedence of this woman freed Jesus so that he could minister in larger numbers. It gave the power to the seeker and it placed the responsibility where it really needed to be, because Jesus is waiting for you to reach out and touch him. It may be an infirmity. What is an infirmity? An infirmity is a physical need, a mental stress, or a spiritual need, and something that only God can fix because the enemy of your soul is pushing against you. Doesn't mean there's sin in your life. It just means that there's been a raging battle, and maybe it's caused physical, mental, or spiritual stress, or even emotional stress in your being. But Jesus can make you whole. I ask you again, are you aware of the power of God right now? Can you feel the touch of God in your body? Do you feel his spirit moving through you right now? God is about to do the miraculous in this place. And so I'm asking you today, I'm not going to anoint you. The elders are not going to anoint you. And I put 6 brand new bottles of anointing oil in the hallway last night. But it's not for that purpose. But I'm asking you, will you reach out and touch Jesus today? And so I'm inviting you to step out into the aisle, step to the front. And yes, you may feel pressed in and you may feel a little bit awkward and you may feel like, man, those people are close. And you may hear somebody cry, or you may hear the voice loudly reach out to God, and you've got to push beyond that distraction and just say, I've got to touch Jesus. And so I'm asking you to reach out and touch Jesus today. Just say to him, I know if I can touch you, I know my body can be made whole. The enemy's going to tell you it's a long-seated thing. It was 12 years for that woman. 12 long years. Everything she tried made it worse, not better. That's it. Reach out to him. Jesus.